But greetings this morning to all of our Calvary Church family, for those who are not only here in person, but for those joining us online. We bring you greetings and a happy new year. It's amazing. Christmas is already starting to kind of become memories and about ready to launch into a new year. In fact, we're praying for a number of our church family that couldn't be here today. There's just the last couple weeks, a lot of just fun junk floating around in the air. And we're praying for many of you to God will heal you and get you back here into God's house where we can all be together again. And but so good to be with you. So good to have our kids at home. So love you. Love my kids. But it's so great to be with you this morning. So as we, on the verge of a brand new year, want to take a few moments this morning just to break open God's word. And really, as we're on the verge of 2024, wanted to challenge you with expectation for the new year. How do you walk into a new year with some expectancy, some anticipation, some joy to look forward to the new year? So many times it's so easy to come through the rush of Christmas that all of a sudden we have this holiday, and sometimes it can be kind of overwashed, that we kind of hit the new year and we're kind of going into it a little sluggish, not expecting all or the busyness of the Christmas season, no matter how good it is or even how tough it is. Just the busyness makes us start to approach the new year with a little hesitation. And so I just want to encourage you today as we jump into this. Often points when I've watched people approach a new year, you kind of get what you expect. And so are you expecting God to do an incredible year this next year? Or are you kind of heading into it with a little bit of a lot of droll, kind of a dullness? So here's my challenge to you today. What you seek is what you're going to end up getting. And so if you're not anticipating God to come through in this next year, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a year of disappointment. So I'm going to challenge you this morning that you will take the remaining rest of today to just take stock on that God's got a special year for you, for you. He's got a special year for your marriage, a special year for your family, a special year ahead for Calvary Church. And he has it for you. Not a selected few, not just a certain few, but for everyone. In that same call that to whoever calls on him, it's whoever. So our challenge to you today is that you all embrace this new year. In fact, I'm having fun with this message because I had a 1 year, and I shared it on our, I think the Sunday we candidated, maybe a time or two. But every year when I get to this time of the year, it's my one of the things I love to do is I love to take the, right when we turn into December, is take the next several weeks to just reflect on the year. And so I start to anticipate the new year, and so I always pick up a word, a faith word. I pray, God, give me a faith word for 2024, for the next year. So this last year, knowing a year ago when we were doing this, God was going to place us into a church, into a community, and God was really challenging me on that. And so the one word that God really laid on my heart was my faith word for this past year was expectancy. And so as we were praying, as Pastor Stacy and I would be praying for that place where God would place us, it just wasn't, in fact, it really challenged me in my prayer life that am I just praying for God's answer, but am I really expecting an answer? And when you lead life with an air of expectancy, your life does change. And in fact, I found my demeanor changed in the sense that, oh yeah, if God's going to answer this prayer, I better be ready. So it flipped me forward. Not only was I praying, but man, I was thinking, I was dreaming, and dreaming forward with an expectancy that it just wasn't that maybe God will answer our prayer. God will answer it, and am I going to be ready? And so I'm leading with all of that background to you, and I'll share with you in a couple of weeks what my 2024 word is. So Stacy knows it. The board happens to know it. I shared it in our last board meeting. So they know. And it's not a big secret, but it'll fit better in a couple weeks. But just as, in fact, it's just been a joy just to get ready for today even. In our men's group a week ago, it was just like, oh, this just fits. And so I just want to encourage you, as we roll into a new year, to anticipate it. And sometimes when you start thinking of expectancy and an anticipation, you know, some of the root of all that is hope. It's hope. And it's why kids go crazy at Christmas, because there's hope that there's going to be something they're going to really love under the wrapped present, right? There's that hope that we have that when we hit this time of the year, there's this hope that, hey, there's going to be a new turn at our business. There'll be a new turn at work. There's parts with hope of a new year. You start to get excited and you sign up. Students sign up to go into the college, into their new season, into their new semester. There's a hope that the grades will be a little better than it was the last semester. That was always my hope. Didn't always prove out well. But we've discovered that there's some problems why people struggle with hope and why this is an important message that I needed to bring you to today. Because when we struggle with expectation, when we struggle with really living a life that's anticipating things, there's really two problems that come to mind of why people struggle with maintaining a hope, maintaining the expectation and anticipation of God doing things in their life. And some points, two big reasons. One, they put their hope in the wrong things. Many points, we start to put our hope more in the things like money than we do in God. Well, even as we went through the pandemic, it was interesting watching people starting to put more trust in things around than God leading and protecting and being in front. And people ended up leaving very fearful lives. People will put trust in hoping that that certain job will get them, maybe it's a promotion at work. Just thinking, if somehow I could get that particular slot, life will be better. A second thing that people put, why they lose that anticipation, that expectancy, that hope, is often points people just begin to lose hope. And what I mean by that is there's a part that a year can kind of beat you up to the point where you just think there is just no way that I can have hope for myself. And especially even as a church, when you're coming through a season that we have, and it's fun watching God heal this church and watching things change. It's been really fun since we've been here in October. We're watching lives change, and you can see it in you. We can see it in our worship. We can feel it in our presence of God, in our services, in our worship. But it's amazing that we lose it because there's some parts. We don't maintain that hope because there's a part that you just think that there's no way. You feel like there's this rain cloud over your life, and it's just you. You're tired. You're worn out. What you hoped for didn't quite come through when you wanted it to happen, and so you just begin to think there is no way it'll ever come through for me. What you're facing is so mammoth, so big, that you begin to feel like it, and it's so overwhelming that you think that there's no way. So this morning, this message is for you that may have put their hope in the wrong place, for those who have just lost out on hope and thinking there's no way, but it's also for people who maybe never thought in terms of letting the Spirit of God give you a sense of expectation that God's got his hand on your life and wants to do something so powerful, so majestic, so unique, that's just for you. And so praying that you all allow God to put a dream in your life for this next year, that it'll be incredibly special. So what we find, if you turn with me in your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at just a few verses of Isaiah chapter 40. And as we begin to go through this, Isaiah chapter 40 is really a chapter of hope. And it's placed within this broader prophecy of Isaiah, and it's this beautiful section where Isaiah begins to prophesy about the Messiah, and it's everything that we've just been celebrating for the last several weeks. And it's why this is such a fitting chapter as we come out of Christmas into a new year. We find this, the book of Isaiah here at the end starts to go through these three cycles of comfort, followed by prophecy, back to comfort. Just have these cycles of prophecy, comfort, prophecy, comfort. And we get to Isaiah chapter 40, and this should fill our hearts with hope. In fact, at the end of Isaiah chapter 40 is a very familiar verse to many of you. In fact, some points you might have forgot that this is where it's at. But look at it, verse 31, reading in the New Living Translation. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I love how the NIV puts it. It puts it this way. But those whose hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, there's hope again, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, that word for renewing, for that word to be able to soar, it's really an amazing word in Hebrew because it's just not, the Hebrew word kavat isn't, you could depict it two ways. One would be waiting, but it's not like waiting tapping your toe. It's a waiting with a renewed strength. In fact, the word picture, Hebrew is very descriptive. The descriptive picture of this word would be like when you're binding sticks together, wood together. And so in many ways, this should be challenging us that we would be pulling our hope together, our hearts together, that we'd be binding our hearts, our faith, and allowing God to strengthen us as we wait. So as we renew our strength, it's getting a hold of ourselves. So there's many parts when you're challenged, when you're going through a season, and maybe you've lost hope today. Maybe you've lost hope as you're approaching a new year, thinking, this is just going to be another year of just another year. God's got so much more for you. And he wants you to anticipate that he's going to do something new. But at some points, we need to be able to talk to our self-talk and start to change that conversation of how we talk to ourselves and what we believe God will do for us. The psalmist was very clear on this. Psalms 42, verse 5 says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will press him again, my Savior. There's parts we need to be able to talk to our heart. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so depressed? Why am I walking into this state, approaching this new year the way that I am? Why am I drilling in? Why am I talking to myself the way that I am? In some points, the way we start to talk to ourselves is also how we pray. So do you see the correlation that if we just keep flowing and just setting the self-talk, the failures become the primary and not the faith in and who we're praying to? The level of what we could expect God to do is incredibly diminished. So I want to challenge you today that you will speak to yourself a word of hope today. Hope is the idea that you're saying to yourself, God, I can't wait what you're going to do. God, as we get into 2024, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my life. I can't wait to see what you're going to do in the life of our marriage, in our family. I pray that you have an anticipating prayer that when the clock strikes midnight, the clock begins to tick into a new year, that it's a new direction for you. That'll be a fresh direction that God wants to do in your life. Please hear me. If you do not have that expectancy, that anticipation regarding what God is going to do in your life, then what happens is what you're going to get is discouragement. You're going to become fearful. You're going to make poor decisions. We become self-reliant, and we stop walking by faith. This is why it's a critical part of having expectancy in our walk as a believer, because the last thing God wants you to do is to have a faith that it makes you look down. That's why even the word from that the Spirit led us in early in this service to wait on Him is so critical for us this morning. That ties into this message, is that God wants you to wait on Him, but with an expectancy that He's going to come through. And so some of you are probably looking at me going, yeah, I'm not buying it, preacher, because you don't know my story. You don't know the year that I've really gone through. And so whether you're here or you're online, there is hope for you that in Isaiah chapter 40, I pray that you will leave here drilled in with an expectancy of what God will do. And so this is where so much, again, this is flowing with what God's been continually teaching me. So I'm not going to say I'm up here being the master of this. I'm still on this journey myself to sit there and grab myself by the back of the neck when I need to and say, why are you walking discouraged today, Kent? Get your hope in the right place. Your hope isn't in this, it's in who. And He's leading, He's for you, He's with you. Get excited. So there's some ways that I found that encouraged my hope, my faith in the Lord, and I want to bring that to you as we walk into a new year. Five ways of building your hope in God. First, building your hope with God begins with an understanding of just how big God is. I pray that you walk away from this service today knowing just how big. Look at it in verse 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Ask the Holy One. Look up to the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each other by name. Because of His great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. This is how big our God is. I love how the Message version puts it. So, who is like me? Who holds a candle to me? Who holds a candle to God? So I'm going to challenge you. What is your perspective of God? How big, how massive is your view of God this morning? So when you got up this morning, your alarm clock probably went off around, now I'm an early riser, so this would not be when my clock goes off. But 7 a.m., your alarm clock went off, right? Mine would be more like 5. But you're anticipating, hey, you're here. You're in the house of the Lord. You knew we're going to make it to church today. Your alarm goes off, 7 o'clock. 7:08, you actually get out of bed. So I want you to picture it with me. So I want to give you some pictures. At 7:08, just picture this. Even though it's a cloudy day here, the sun is shining somewhere. But there's a beam of light that leaves the sun at 7:08. So here's the amazing thing. Within just a few moments from the point your alarm went off to 7:08, guess what? That beam of light just went by your front door. At 7:43, as you sat down to finally have your cup of coffee to wake up, guess what? That beam of light just went by the planet Jupiter. And so when we begin to start to realize that beam of light moves so fast. So when you think of how light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second, by the end of the week, when you're celebrating the end of our New Year's celebration, guess what? That beam of light that just started to pop this morning is exiting our solar system. And amazingly, by the year 2030, that light beam traveling at 186,000 miles per second will only have 20 stars behind it. As our sun appears to be just this little yellowish star disappearing in the dark, it's starting by 2030. It's just now starting to leave, it, or will just start to be at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. by 2020, by 2030. So picture that. Just 7 years, it's just now getting in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy. So if you're willing to allow this little beam of light, remember that just started when you started to wake up this morning. 50,000 years later, it'll reach the other side of the Milky Way galaxy. And then our sun really starts to look small. And it's just now starting to hit the known parts of our universe. So if that little light beam continues to travel along another 80,000 years, it'll reach the Magellanic Clouds, which is the closest galaxy or series of galaxies to our Milky Way. And so if you bear with me, I want you to just capture this, so that little beam of light. If we're going to go another 160,000 years into the future, that light beam, moving at 186 miles per second, will finally face 1.8 million years of empty space. Before then, it reaches the very next galaxy to ours, which is the Andromeda Galaxy. So think about this. That little light beam traveled 2 million years. Traveling 2 million years when it finally encounters some open space. So only then will that light beam start to encounter what Psalms 83 calls the work of God's fingers. Are you picturing how big God is? That it would take 2 million years just to begin to start getting to the fingertips of God's creation. And that's after 50 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars are all in its path, in its wake. Amazing. So if you've lost hope this morning, here's my challenge. It's why I wanted to give you pictures, some from NASA, from just different pictures that gives you an image of just how big our God is. So if you walked in here today and you felt like, but my problems were so much bigger, you need to know, no matter how big your problems are, you serve an amazingly much bigger, much more massive God. He is so big. In fact, bring back those verses, if you don't mind, verse 25 and through 26. And when you put those images and put that distance into a place, to whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, asked the Holy One. Look up to the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, because of his great power and incomparable strength. Not a single one is missing. Here's the part I want you to capture today. Just know that your God is a magnificent God. He is so powerful. He overlooks every single star. He calls them out by name. He places them exactly where he wants them to be. That is how great our God is. It is so amazing. So when we get a picture of just how big our God is, it brings hope. It brings hope. And especially to the second point. Not only is our God amazingly big, he is very interested in your situation and in you. Not only can God create the universe, not only is he big enough to do that, he's personal enough to know exactly where you're at, and he looks at you and knows where you're at. Look at Isaiah verse 27, verse in chapter 40. O Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? I'm going to flip back and just let you see how the Message version says this. Why should you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Haven't you ever had thoughts like that? God, have you lost track of me? God, do you really care where I'm at? Do you not see the stack of the bills that I'm facing? Do you not see the pressures that I feel like are just overwhelming? Here's the great part, is our God is so massive, but he is so personal. He knows exactly where you are. One of the devil's greatest tricks is to try to discourage people, to make them think and believe that God doesn't care. God cares. Just like as Isaiah chapter 40 points out, he can number the stars, he can count them, but he calls them by name. And in that same way, he calls you by name. He loves you. Your name is just as important to God as any other name. He doesn't play favorites. He loves you equally and just as deeply. Settle that into your heart as we approach a new year, that we have a God that loves us. Scripture teaches it clear. Psalm 139, look at it. Oh, and we're just looking at the first few verses. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. So what does this passage mean? It means straight up, God knows everything that's going to happen. Even at points when we tend to walk away, he knows, but he loves us still. His compassion, his drive to know us is there. Psalm 37, verse 23 says this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and please capture this part, he delights in every detail of their lives. God loves every detail of their lives. So the mountain you might even be facing, you need to know, is the very beginning of a miracle that God wants to do in your life that becomes a faith builder for other people that are watching you serve him. And it just begins to cascade. The work that God wants to do in and through you isn't just about you. It's going to be about telling his goodness, his greatness, that's going to ripple out into this community. That's why I believe the destiny for Calvary is so much bigger and greater than what we could ever ask, think, or imagine, because it's the compilation of story after story of God delivering us, leading us into a new life, and he wants to do that in and through you, each one of you, not a select few. He knows where you are. A third way of building your faith, building hope, is remember what you know about God. One of the very things that loves to happen, and trust me, this is where I come back at it. I try to put places in my life where I remember what God's teaching me. So my faith word, over the last year, I had put in cabinets. When I open it, it stares me in the face. That I can remember to be expectant. This is what God wants to do in my life. I need to be expecting that he's going to break through. So I put it visible. So you can walk into the parsonage and you can walk into my office. So I'll tell you where it is. So if you want to break into my office, go ahead. Marlo will fix it later. Just what Marlo wants, another thing to do. That's why I said it. But when you go into my office, you go to the cabinet, open up the left-hand door, guess what's going to be taped right to the door? It's my faith word for this next year. If you go over to the parsonage, so the next time you're over to our house, go through the main bedroom, go to the main bedroom bathroom, open up the medicine cabinet, you'll open up that door, there it is. Because I need it visually to remind me. And I know many of you probably face the same battle, is we know God keeps telling us certain things, but then we forget it. Remember what you know about God. Isaiah verse 28 says this, have you never heard? So even this is what's so amazing, even in this verse, we're talking about how massive God is. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Look how the message reads it. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go, God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. So you need to know God does not pause on your life. He doesn't get tired. As you approach him again and again and again, you'll never wear out your welcome with God. He won't pause. He won't get tired. He won't get weary. It's an amazing character about who God is. God is our creator. So when we start to really start to pound down on this, just know that you'll never call on him and have to say, God, am I an afterthought? You may feel it, but you need to know in God's character, in God's essence, he knows everything. He's never going to be caught off guard. One of the greatest parts that when you get through the emotional moments that you face in life is just know you might be totally unprepared for a surprising moment. It could be a death of a loved one. It could be being let go at work. I mean, think of some of the big catastrophic things that would grip you with fear. You just need to know God will never be caught off guard by it. Anchor into him who's not caught off guard. He will walk with you. He will be with you in it, through it, deliver you from it. Just know we have a constant, constant source that our God is with us. A fourth way to build your hope is know that God can miraculously strengthen you. We see it in verse 29. See, it doesn't matter how weak or you might be or how tired you might be. And honestly, today, some of you might have had to really struggle just to come to church. So this word is for you today. Just know God will strengthen you. The demand of the holidays, sometimes it just, have you ever hit moments of your life where you're just emotionally tired? Just know that God's with you today. And look at it in verse 29. Here's the great thing about our God is he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. I love how the message puts it. He goes, he energizes those who get tired and gives fresh strength to dropouts. Isn't that amazing? He energizes those who get tired and gives fresh strength to dropouts. So dropouts, they're really talking about a race, but maybe you're a high school dropout. There's hope. There's hope in the sense that just know God will energize you even at the point when you feel like quitting. And I'm sure no one's ever felt that at that point. Feel like quitting life. You know, you're just like, man, if I could just quit my job, life would be so much better. Guess what? There'll be a new challenge tomorrow. One of the great things we can know is that our God will, the moment we feel like we can't take another step, he will energize and give us strength. What's so great about this Hebrew word, too, is the picture that's tied with this word on strength and energy is actually, in Hebrew, would be like bone. So I know it's kind of an odd part, but it's like the durability of like bone. So when you think of our skeletal system, it's really kind of amazing in the sense all the mass that can be on our bones, the weight it carries, even some of the demands physically that we put on our bodies, how it can take it. That's the picture that the energy isn't just to power you forward, but to give you a girth to withstand so that you can walk through and navigate the challenges that you have. And that this should give us all hope, that the idea that God strengthens us no matter what we face. Fifth and finally, final way of building hope, if you look to God with anticipation, you'll receive supernatural strength. And it comes back to the verses that we started with, verses 30 through 31. Look at it. Even the youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. In the message, for even young people tire and drop out, which is kind of amazing, right? If you've had little kids around, you're sitting there going, I don't think that's happening with their new Christmas toys. Will they ever tire out? Yes, they will. But here's the great thing. But those who wait upon God will get fresh strength. They spread their wings out and soar like eagles. They will run and not get tired if you will call on the Lord. If you will wait on the Lord, as we were encouraged through the Holy Spirit earlier, when you wait on him, guess what? God will give you fresh strength. God will energize you. The moment you feel like you can't do it, just know God will come through. We looked at Psalm 42 earlier in this passage, but again, there's a part you need to be able to tell your inner self. You might be tired, but you can make it. And Scripture keeps bringing this back up. Look at Psalms 43. This isn't the same one I shared with you earlier. Psalm 43, look at verses 5 through 6. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. In other words, I put my hope in Him, and His hope is anticipating God's goodness in our life. Are you approaching life to trust God to make the difference? Are you waiting on Him? When we begin to put our full weight and trust on God, it's amazing what He will do. So look at Isaiah verses 30 through 31 in closing. If I could have the worship team come back. My challenge to you today is, are you waiting on the Lord? Are you trusting on Him? Because for those who wait on the Lord, that's where I can't get beyond that message earlier in the service and to what we have in our passage today, to those who will wait on the Lord. That's why I hesitated on even just wrapping up our worship time, is the pause just to wait. There's just something about being in God's presence where you just wait. You just allow. Let me tell you this as a church. Never take for granted. Never take for granted when you can just feel God's presence in a place. And it's so easy. The temptation would just be go about the order of the day. Go about the order of a service. When we just take a moment and just be grateful that our God is here. That He's meeting with us and that we can tangibly feel His presence. So whatever you're facing today, let me challenge you with this, is that God is a good God and He does what's good. You may have difficulties, because, and trust me, that's what I'm not saying, is that you won't have difficulties. Difficulties will come, but I am saying believe in God. You'll never have a moment that you won't have to wonder, where is God? He'll walk with you. You won't be alone in your problem. He'll be there with you, whatever problem you have to deal with, He's there. You can have supernatural strength to carry you through it or completely lift you out of it. Either way, you can have strength. You can have God's presence in and with you. Would you stand with me this morning? So whether you're facing a big year, and that year seems so daunting, just believe God for big things. If you're facing big problems, then you, my friend, are blessed, because God's giving you an opportunity to see some big miracles take place. If you're facing some big burdens, no, guess what? There's a bigger God who's going to come through in a bigger way and give you big strength. Believe God for 2024 and all the new things He wants to do in your life, and watch Him come through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being an incredibly massive God, but an incredibly personal God as well. And that, God, You're with us, You're for us. And Lord, we just invite You into this part of our service. Lord, just speak to us, challenge us in a new way to be open to Your incredible size, but to Your incredible love. In the details of our lives that never miss Your gaze. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question today. If you're here and maybe you're away from the Lord, He's not the leader and Savior of your life, but you know He needs to be. Maybe you walked in here today and you just felt like life had been beating you down. I just want you to have a victory today of knowing who can bring victory to your life. And He wants to bring an incredible change to your life this morning. So if you're here today and you know you need to reconnect with God, maybe for the first time, invite Him in to be the leader and Savior of your life. Or maybe it's rededicating yourself to say, God, be the center of my life. Come through in a massive way. If that's you, would you just look up at me? I just want to pray with you. Just lift up your hand. I want to pray with you if that's you this morning. Excellent. For those online, those here, would you pray with me this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for not forgetting me, for loving me. Come into my life, be the leader of my life, and be my Savior. I give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins, doing life my own way. I give my life to you. Create a new life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, just know the all-powerful God who can go billions of years and still not reach the tip of his fingertips has just began a new work in your life, and it's massive and amazing. I want to invite those of our prayer team, our anointers, if you would come, those who will be praying for people this morning. I guess fitting for as we go into a new year, I'm not going to do a formal dismissal this morning. I just want us to go into a time of worship just to ponder on what we experienced in Isaiah chapter 40. Because when we start to really unpack the truths that are in that passage, God wants to energize. He wants to give us strength if we will wait on him. I feel like I would be totally inconsiderate of how God has visited this service already today if we didn't end this way. So before you go about the rush of your day and the rest of the holiday this today and tonight, how you'll celebrate, could you just take a few moments just to say, God, what do you want to do in my life, in our family's life, in our marriage, in my work, in everything? Take a few moments to anticipate, to have hope of what God wants to do in and through your life. So can we do that today as we go into our time of worship? And as our anointers, where are they? Those who are ready to pray, would you please come forward? And if you prayed that prayer of rededication, or for the first time inviting Jesus into your heart and life, would you just make sure that during this prayer time, even capture one of these people, would you? Just let them know, hey, would you pray with me and for me? Maybe you have a physical need that you want agreement on. Maybe there's some big mountains that you want some agreement of God in hope is going to turn the tide this new year. Just don't do that race alone. That's what Calvary Church is all about, is to do life and to love Jesus together. So would you make sure you reach out to someone and pray, and let's not miss a moment that we can have with God. So no formal dismissal, but I will lead us into this moment with a prayer that Pastor Stacy and I pray for you often, and it's a blessing we want to pray over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Lord, in this new year, may you build your church. God, may you just do a new work in our lives, to the blessing of our lives and to your glory. We give all of this rest of this service to you. Give us a hope and a faith in what you will do in our life, in the life of this church in this next new year. May it be amazing testimony unto you. We give it all to you in Jesus' name.